We've been in a series since the year began called Pray First. I know it's been hard for some of you to be here every week, and so you can always go online and catch any of the parts you missed, but Pray First has been our theme. It's a theme to start the year. It's a theme for prayer. It's actually a theme I want to carry through the year. We also made wristbands available, so if you didn't pick yours up yet, they're a black wristband, they're silicone, and they say Pray First on them. And the idea for you is to wear it every day. Every time you see it or every time you bump it, you'll remember that our topic is to pray first. Because prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. So we always want to be able to, no matter what we're facing and no matter what comes at us through the day, that we would pray first. And so far in this series, we've looked at the prayer model that Jesus set for us in the Lord's Prayer. And then we look at what is a lifestyle of prayer. And we talked about the personalities of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and their personalities. And last week, we talked about the prayer in the prophetic realm. This morning, I want to go to this topic called Eat the Book. So you'll want to put your finger in Ezekiel chapter 2 or open it on one of your devices or follow along in our YouVersion app and go there. But I want to give you a practical teaching this morning. I want to give you something that you could take home and live with for the rest of your life. Now, for some of you, I want you I know that for some of you, this is second nature. For some of you, you don't need this teaching. And if that's you, I just want you to encourage the people around you and just take it to heart, because this thing that we call prayer and Bible reading is something that every one of us as believers says, yes, 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 I need to do that. And many, many believers say, I don't know how to do that. Or I struggle with that. Or I go to pray and I fall asleep. But if you've struggled with prayer and if you've struggled with Bible reading, I want to give you something practical, something helpful. I preached this very similar sermon. Part of it is very similar to one I did about 9 years ago. And so if you say, Pastor, we heard this before, you didn't. You only heard the end part before, okay? Ezekiel 2 verse 1 says this. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. And as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation. Isn't that great? I'm sending you to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. Pause there. First thing you notice is God speaks to Ezekiel and he says to him, stand up. And before he could stand up, he says, the Spirit came into me and made me stand up. And the first thing I realize here is we need the Spirit in us so we could stand up. So we need to have the Spirit in us so we could stand up. Because when we stand up, it means we're ready to hear God and we're ready to obey. And so stand up. And then God's sending him on a mission. How many of you would like this mission? I'm sending you to a rebellious people who have only always rebelled against me. Even their ancestors. Sounds like a fun assignment. But you see, we're all being sent on a mission. You don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet. You just need to be obedient to the word of God. God is sending you on a mission. God is calling you to your mission. Your mission is your home. Your mission is your neighborhood. Your mission is your workplace. See, because you're in those places where maybe no other believer is. You're sent on a mission. Let's continue with verse 4. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Just watch this. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. What a wonderful bunch of people to live with. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. Is God sending a message here? How many times has he warned us they're a rebellious people? You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are, guess what? Rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like the rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll. God says, I'm sending you to a... You got that message, huh? How many times did God warn him? But here's what's really crucial is God says, I'm sending you to rebellious people and say what I tell you to say and do what I tell you to do. Your responsibility is not their response. Your responsibility is not their response. Their response is my problem, God says. And sometimes I think that's the way we feel. We keep praying for loved ones. We keep praying for friends. We keep trying to invite them to church and invite them to godly places that you can meet other people or to invite them to your group. And they keep saying no or they keep coming up with excuses. And God says, don't worry about their response. Worry about your actions. Just keep sowing the seed and God will be responsible for what comes from it. Isn't that good news? They might be rebellious, but don't be like them, he says. Don't be like, oh, then it gets even better. So now the hand has shown him a scroll. And it continues in verse 10. And it was a scroll which he unrolled for me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel. So notice here, he gives them a scroll. And he says, on this scroll, he unrolled it. It's critical that we understand that the scroll is unrolled. And it's written on both sides. And that is very unusual. It was commonplace for them to have scrolls. And it was commonplace for them to be written. But a scroll is and always was usually only written on one side. Because you would scroll it and scroll it. But Ezekiel makes it clear to us that he sees a scroll that is totally, completely written on both sides with words of lament and mourning and woe. In other words, the message on this scroll is not a very nice message. It's not uplifting. It's not gracious. It's not good. It's lament, it's sorrow, it's mourning, it's woe. Full. But this scroll is full of God's word. And then we get to our title in verse 2. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Son of man, eat the scroll. Eat the book. Eat the book. And when you eat the book, this book, the Bible, when you eat the book, it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. There may be words that are difficult. There may be words that are tough. There may be words of sorrow and lament and woe. But yet in the midst of it, when you eat God's word, it becomes sweet as honey to your mouth. And so I hold out to you, church, this morning, we need to learn to eat the book. And so what I want to give you is some practical ideas about eating the book. See, we need to learn to eat God's word every day. You like to eat every day? Come on. How many of you tried the three, don't put your hands up, but how many of you tried the 3-day fast and you were dying after 17 hours? Because we like to eat. And we need to eat the Word of God every day. See, you cannot know God without His Word. You cannot know about God without reading His Word. You cannot grow spiritually. You cannot grow in your Christian walk. You cannot grow in following Jesus unless you read the Word. Eat the book. You need to get into the Word so the Word gets into you. There's only one way to get the Word inside of you, and you need to eat the book. Get the Word of God inside of you. And so I want to give you some really practical ideas on how you could read the Word or eat the book. And the first thing I want to tell you is you have to prioritize it. It has to be the priority of your life. Pastor, you don't know how busy I am. You're just as busy as everybody else in this room. We've all got limited time, but we have to prioritize. We have to prioritize the reading of the Word of God. We have to prioritize making time in our day. It may mean you've got to shuffle things around. It may mean you got to go to bed a little bit earlier to get up a little bit earlier. But you need to prioritize the importance of God's Word for your life. I'm not telling you to quit your job and just stay at home and read the Bible all day. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in the midst of the life that you're living, make it a priority. You want to know what your priorities are? Whatever you make time for. Those are your priorities. Whatever you make time for. You decide what you're going to do. You decide how you're going to spend your time. You may have a job that takes a lot of your hours, but they still don't control every hour of your life. You may be retired and have all kinds of time. Yeah, right. Somebody who was retired said to me, I'm busier now than before. So you still need to prioritize it. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. You're going to have to make a priority for it. If you can't find time for the Word, it's because you don't value the Word. That's all there is to prioritize it. The second thing is plan it. And it ties right in. Once you make it a priority, plan time for the Word. So decide, where does this fit in my busy life? Where in my schedule can I find time to eat the book? Find a time that works with your schedule. Find a time that works more consistently, because you're going to find it easier. Like, it doesn't have to be exactly consistent. You know, it doesn't have to be at 8:07 every day or whatever. But whether you're a morning person or a night person, or whether, you know, you're working shifts, you got to plan it. Got to find the time and the place for it. To maybe find a place, you know, you might be a young family and the house is crazy all day, so you've either got to decide, am I going to do this early before the house gets crazy, or late after the house quiets down? You got to plan it. You might need a place in your planning. Find a place that's conducive where you can kind of just be alone with the Word. You know, a place where you're not going to get distracted and you know, a place that nobody's going to just come and barge through in the middle of it. You know, maybe the kitchen table at supper time is not the best place. You know, if you've got a young family, or maybe the kitchen table when you're nice and quiet is the best place. So it all depends. You need to plan for it. Schedule it into your daily routine. So you got to prioritize it. You got to plan it, and you have to prepare for it. I'm going to tell you how to prepare so you could eat the book, read the Word. The first thing you're going to need, it makes perfect sense, is you need a Bible. Get a version that, a translation that you're comfortable with. If you love King James, get King James. If you love NIV, as you've noticed, I mostly use NIV because I like NIV. It's because it's what I'm comfortable with. I've been using NIV since I was a teenager, so I'm used to it. See, we've all got our favorites. There's nothing wrong with it. Get a version that is easy for you to understand and that you like, and use that. So start with a Bible, because we rely on the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. So the first thing you need is a pen as you prepare. The first thing is a Bible. The second thing is a pen. Makes sense if you're gonna, you can take notes. You can write in your Bible. Now, not all Bibles are as easy to write in. I grant you that. Some of, like this is a very thin page. And so you can actually buy Bibles. I didn't know this until my daughter bought one. But you can buy Bibles that have thicker paper and big wide margins to write in. And you want God to speak to you from the Word. So, you know, if a word speaks to you, if a verse is good, you can star it, you can underline, they sell Bible highlighters, whatever makes you comfortable. And so you need a Bible, you need a pen. Here's something critical. You need a reading plan. It doesn't matter what reading plan, but you need a reading plan. You need a way that you're going to read the Bible. You can say, I'm just going to read Genesis, that's the first book, and go all the way to the last book, which was Revelation. I'm just going to read it in order, and that's great. But how much do you have to read every day to get there? That's great. But if you're just starting out, that might be too much for you. So if you've never read your Bible every day, I'm going to say you don't have to read the whole Bible in a year. It's great if you can, and it's great if you want to. I encourage you. But if you've never done it before, it's like going to the gym and trying to raise a bar of 300 pounds and you've never lifted weights before in your life. Work your way up to it. You can go to Our Daily Bread. They'll give it to you. They'll send it to you at home in a book. That's a very, very short, one or two verses and a little devotional thought about it. That's a way to start. But there's an even better way. And you can go on YouVersion, which is on any of your phones or your computers or your tablets. And all kinds of plans you can sign up for. And I think they email you. You can have them email you each day to remind you. You can go to Bible Gateway and they'll email you one every morning. You can go to Rick Warren and sign up for his. He'll email you a devotional every day. He'll email you scripture and a devotional thought. That's a place to start. You can go to our website. And if you go to Highway's website under resources, you can download and print off a reading plan. We've got reading plans of the whole Bible. We've got reading plans of the New Testament. We have all kinds of different reading plans you can get. And if you need help, ask us in the office and we'll print them for you. If you say, I don't have a printer, I don't have a computer, we just want to help. We'll do all that. We just want to help you. But you need a reading plan because the worst reading plan is this. Okay, God. And Judas went and hung himself. Lord, are you saying something? I don't think so. That's not of God. You know, the blind opened my Bible and put my finger on it. It doesn't work as well. Follow a reading plan that will guide you into reading a way that's understandable and that will help you to grow. Next thing you need is a journal or a notebook where you can write the things that God is going to say to you, the things that the Word is going to speak to you. It doesn't have to be fancy. Go to the dollar store and buy a spiral little notebook about this big, you know. That's great. I've used that many times. Just this year at Christmas, my kids unknowingly bought me a journal. And I was actually on my way to, after Christmas, I was going to go buy a dollar store spiral ones because I've used that many times. They're actually really, really good, easy to flip. Pages, great. Don't cost you much. All you need is, that's why you need your pen, because you need to journal. You can write down what God is saying to you. You say what God is going to say to you out of that reading plan, out of that week. A verse jumps at you, an idea jumps at you, you'll be able to jot it down. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an idea, show you a way that you could journal. That's simple. Now, I know some of you are sitting there saying, I don't want to journal. I don't like that idea. I used to be just like you. I used to hate to journal. And I'll be honest, I don't always journal. I go through periods. Right now I'm in a journaling period. But I've gone through periods where I've journaled and then put it away for a few months and then picked it back up again. You do whatever is comfortable for you. But there are some advantages to journaling. One of the advantages is it helps you to focus on what you're reading because you know you're going to want to write something about it. So just that discipline helps you to focus in on the word better. And then it helps you remember. I'm having a hard time because about 7 years ago, I was reading something and God spoke something so profound and I'm sure I wrote it down. I'm sure I had journal. I just can't find it. I've been looking for 3 months for it. And it was something on prayer as I was getting ready for this series. I wanted to find what I had, and I just still haven't found it. By the way, I've tried journaling on the computer, and I have about a year's worth on the computer. And I'm going to be honest with you. For me, it was easier to do it in paper. It was just easier. And there's a whole other distraction reason for that as well, which I'll tell you in a moment. But writing your thoughts about your Bible reading helps you to focus. So you don't have to write, but it will help you to write. And there's a story in the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy as Moses is giving instruction to the Israelites. And it says, when he sits on the throne as king, so he's talking about the kings, he must copy these laws on a scroll for himself in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep this copy of the law with him and read it daily. Eat it every day. As long as he lives, that way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of this law. This regular reading will prevent him from being proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. This is Moses' instructions to the nation of Israel to say when you have a king, he needs to read the law. So we'd say that presently is we read the Bible and write it down and carry it with him and read it every day. Because that will prevent him from breaking the laws of God. So you need a Bible and a pen, a reading plan, a journal or a notebook. And the last thing you need is a notepad. Now, you can replace this with anything you want. I'm just using notepad as an expression to tell you what I want to say. What you need is something that's going to remove the distractions. Do you ever go to pray and you get about, no joke, you don't even get 30 seconds in and something comes into your mind. Oh, I need to remember to go pick that up at the store. Am I the only one? So when you have a little scratch pad, a notepad, when that thought comes in your mind, you say, buy chocolate. And then you're okay. And then you can go back to your reading. See, because sometimes the enemy wants to come and distract you and bombard you with all the things you have for the day. And you panic because you, I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. Oh, God, what are you saying? I don't want to forget. Oh, God, what are you saying? I don't want to forget. And that struggle goes on. And so you have this scratch pad, this notepad, and you write it down there. And then when you're finished your time with God, you take your little piece of paper. You go, now I got my day planned. Thank you, Jesus. Devil, you didn't win. Right, so you need something to remove the distractions. Let me say something else you need to remove is your phones and your computers and your tablets and your internet and your emails. Don't take that into your time with God. But Pastor, I want my YouVersion. I know that's the difficult, so find a way to do it. I don't keep your phone on silent and just read what you're going to read and don't answer any pop-ups. Like you can train yourself. Like, you're adults. You're disciplined. You can do this. I have trust in you. I have faith in you. You can do this. So you got to prioritize. You got to plan it. You got to prepare for it. You got to practice it. How to have devotions. That's the Christianese term for what we're talking about. Devotions, a time where you read the Bible and talk to God. We've talked through this prayer series of Pray First, that prayer is important because it's a time for us to connect with God. And it's not just us talking to God, but it's God talking to us. But you want to know, God talks to us primarily through the Word. Not saying God can't speak to you in the middle of your day or even in the middle of your prayer time, but God's chosen to speak to us through the Word. Or else why did he give it to us? To reveal himself so we would know him, but he wants us to know him. So we have to practice it. And so what I'm about to give you is what I shared with you about 7 or 9 years ago. It's something I learned at a conference I went to, and I love that idea, and I've been putting it into practice. And for me, it's an easy way. And so I can show, there's other similar methods to this, and if you have your own, don't change. But if you don't have one and you need one, try this one. So I'm just going to tell you what it's called. I call it SOAP. It's an acronym. SOAP stands for something. If you were here about 9 years ago, I called that sermon "Use Soap Every Day," and I handed out a little bar of soap to everybody. Okay, so this I didn't write this. I believe Wayne Cordiero wrote this, but I'm not even sure if he's the one who wrote it. He's the one who taught me this. So soap stands for something. S stands for Scripture. That we need to get into Scripture. I've already laid that groundwork for you this morning. So start with Scripture. And so O stands for observation. What is the Scripture I'm reading saying to me? What do I see there? And so you write a couple of observations. A is really important. It's the application part. See, not only what do I see in the Word, what is the Word now saying to my life? What am I going to find in the Scripture that I could apply? What can I read today that's going to say, I need to put this into practice in my life as I go forward? That's the application. The P is prayer. So based on what the application is, based on what the Scripture is, God, what are you saying to me? What do I need to do to respond to your Word? Because that's the whole idea. It's not knowledge, it's action. It's not knowledge we want from the Word. It's action we want from the Word. We want God's Word to change our hearts and our lives so that we can go out in action and live by what God says. So I want to show you how to use your journal. I'm just going to explain it to you, and then I'm going to show it to you. So just listen to the explanation first. How do you journal in your thing? So you use that reading plan. You find your Scripture for the day. You turn to it. And before you read, you say a simple prayer like something like this. Holy Spirit, speak to me from the Word today. I want to learn something new. That's all you need. You don't need 14 hours of intercession to read the Word. Just God, speak to me. Then you read the passage. And when you finish reading it, or even as you're reading it, like if you're marking up your Bible and, wow, that verse is cool, and you underline it, then when you finish whatever you're reading, you can go back and look at it, or look at what you've highlighted, and then you'll open your journal, and you'll turn to a blank page, and I'll tell you in a moment what to do with it. I'll tell you now, and then I'll show you. How's that? Okay, Pastor Paul? I'm just going to explain it, and then I'll show it later. So you turn to a blank page, and you're going to write down the Scripture reference. So you're going to write down the date, the Scripture reference. You're going to write down what you saw. You're going to write down your application. How does this mean to me? And then you're going to write down a prayer. So I want to use the text that I opened with Ezekiel 2 this morning. And really, I've already prepared it all for you. I just want to show you, how does this work? That's why I walked you through that passage this morning. It was also the theme for our morning, Eat the Book. And so we got a blank page like this. So the first thing you're going to do is on the top right corner, I put the date, February 3rd, 19th. And then I use soap, and I use things like that. I just use an S with a circle because I now know that it's Scripture, because I just know. And so I put the Scripture, and the Scripture today is Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 3. And I put the Scripture, and then I write my observation. What did we see in the Scripture? We saw that we all need the Spirit to raise us, that God has a plan for everyone. Not everyone will respond to the gospel. You know, and you can write more, and then I go to the application. Now, what does this say to me? And it says, I need to allow the Holy Spirit to live in me. You see a lot of I in the application. You know, not him or her, I. I need to live my life in accordance to God's plan for my life. I need to live my life in a way that represents God and share my testimony with people. I am responsible to be obedient. I am not to change people's hearts. That's God's job. Right? Now, you don't have to write, you know, flowery, and nobody's going to read it. It's just for you. And then I go to the prayer. And I write the P in the circle. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to live in me. Father, I ask you to help me be obedient to your will and to your word. Help me to live my life in such a way my life will be a testimony of who you are. And you have just done devotions in a few minutes. I'm going to be honest with you. You need more than 5, but you don't need more than 15 if you've never done it before. Those of you who've been in the practice, you're saying, 15, I'm still reading. I get that. Okay, I get that. But I'm talking about starting basics. So if you've never used to reading the Bible, and then that prayer will lead you into a longer prayer time. That's where you could begin to pray for people on your prayer list, where you can pray for others, where you can pray for salvation for friends and family, where you can pray for people's needs, going into praying for your own needs, and on like that. And then you can add a title. And I guess we'll call this one Ezekiel Eats the Word. Eat the book. Eat the book. Every day, eat the book. You need to read your Bible every day. It's not because it's religious. It's because it's the only way you're going to grow with God. It's the only way you're going to grow in your relationship. It's the only way you're going to grow being able to follow God. Read the Word every day. Even if you don't journal every day, even if you don't like journaling, read the book. Read the book. The amount you write in a journal isn't important. Some days you'll have trouble filling a page. Other days you can't stop after 2. It doesn't matter. There's no right and wrong here. The only right is that you eat the book every day. And here's a caution. If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. Don't let the enemy have a foothold. Oh, you're not even a Christian anymore. Like God doesn't even want to hear from you because you didn't show up yesterday. Oh, you miss a day? Okay, on I go. I'll pick it up again the next day. Don't let the enemy push you down without you getting back up. That's defeat. Missing a day is missing a day. Couple questions I have, and I need you to just close your eyes and bow your heads, church. Couple questions. The first question is this. You're here this morning and I'm talking about reading the Word, reading the Bible, getting to know God better. And you're sitting here saying, I have no clue who God is. You're sitting here this morning saying, connect to God? Who is God? I'm not even sure God's real. I'm not even sure Jesus really died on the cross. But as I've been talking this morning, you're understanding that I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about reality. As you sit here this morning, you're saying to yourself, I want to know this God. I want to follow this Jesus. If that's you this morning, would you just quietly pick up your hand so I could see it and look at me? I want to acknowledge you. I want to help you so that you could learn to eat the book. You can put your hand down. And put your hands down. Church, let's celebrate this morning. People want to know more about God. Come on, church. Come on, church. Those of you who raised your hand, I want you to, at the close of the service, fill out a connection card and come and see me. I have something to give you. I have a little gift to help you as you begin your journey, a little booklet to help you starting to eat the Word. All right? Close your eyes one more time. You may be in church. You may be a Christian for numbers of years, but you've been struggling with the Word. You've been struggling with this thing we call devotions. You've been struggling with connecting to God. And I've tried to be very, very practical today. And maybe you've heard and you've caught this soap thing. How many would say, Pastor, I have not been regularly reading the Bible, but as of today, I want to read the Bible. With all the eyes closed, and if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and hold it up for a second. Pastor, I've struggled, but I'm going to read the Bible from now on. My goal is to read it every day. You can put your hands down. Now, to those who lifted your hand, there's no condemnation from God. God loves you. And he's just encouraging you to eat the book. Nourish your spirit. Try this soap system out. You may find it works. You may find you're going, you know, you don't have to follow it exactly that way, you know. Do it the way that's right for you, that's comfortable for you, that makes sense for you. But follow a reading plan. I don't know if I can stress that anymore. Follow a reading plan. You need one. Father, we give you glory today and we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we bless your name. For you are great and greatly to be praised. And Father, I ask that you would give us all a hunger and a desire for your word. Lord, that your word would taste like honey in our mouth. Lord, that we would eat the word, eat the book every day. And that you would speak to our hearts every day. Lord, help us to live obedient to who you are. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before you go, I want to encourage you to come back next week. If you have a friend who's not here today, I want you to call them and say, I want you to come. Small group leaders, if any of your small group members are not here, I want you to call them this week and say, make sure you're in church next Sunday because I'm trying to wrap up Pray First. I'm going to take everything we've done and I'm going to wrap it all up in one system, including soap. And I'm trying another practical sermon for you next week. Another practical teaching. So we can take this and we could learn that we need to pray first. And we can connect with God. Because God wants to connect with you.